We're studying Proverbs 1:1-31. I'm going to read just only up to verse 7 because I'll cover the scripture as we go through the scripture in the teaching. Just so you know, the children in Crosswalk and in Kidstown are getting something from Proverbs 1:1-31 in the back. So you talk to them when you take them home, when you go out to lunch, and when you're at home throughout the week about what they glean from this reading. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Heavenly Father, we just ask that for the next few moments that you be with us, that you would open our hearts, our ears, and our minds to receive what you have for all of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First off, you probably, some of you might want to know, what is a proverb? Some of you have gone out to eat Chinese food, and you get a little cookie, and inside the cookie is a little saying. Well, that's a proverb. There's different kinds of proverbs. Usually, it's a saying that has maybe an element of truth to it. That's what proverbs are. You know, you can pick, everybody has somebody who spews out proverbs, just so you know. But proverbs that come from the Old Testament of God, that were spoken by King Solomon through the gift of wisdom that God had given King Solomon, are speaking words that are breathed by God. They're authored by Him. So these proverbs are full truth, not a nugget or a kernel of truth, but they are truth. And that's why we study them. I would put a challenge out to people to read a proverb a day. Maybe a chapter a day if you're aggressive enough. And when you get done, reread it. And you continue to read it, it will change you from the inside out. The author of Proverbs, the primary author of Proverbs, was King Solomon. There are a few other Proverbs written, I think it's in 22 through 24, and then I know it is that I read it, but I can't remember exactly which ones. And then Proverbs 31, that famous proverb that women love or hate to read. Those were written by Agur and King Lemuel. But the rest of this came from Solomon. And the reason why they're so important to us and so good to us is because he asked for wisdom. And God had granted it to him. So what about these proverbs? Solomon was probably influenced by his father, King David, who wrote the Psalms, most of the Psalms. He reigned for 40 years as the king of Israel, and he began at about age 20. When we hear of the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of the Song of Songs, and the book of Proverbs, those were all authored by King Solomon, by the Holy Spirit, through King Solomon is what I should say. He wrote more books in the Old Testament than any other person except for Moses. And wisdom was at the heart of what he would speak on. When he was young, he probably wrote the book Song of Songs as he was experiencing young love. And based on what I read in Scripture, there's a whole bunch of that. Probably wasn't love, it was other things. The book of Ecclesiastes comes at the end of his tenure when he's lived a life, a full life, of ups and downs and mistakes and errors and victories and all kinds of things. But in the middle, the book of Proverbs came when he was at the height of his rule, the peak of his passion, and drive as king. He's an incredible man with an incredible gift. Well, how did it come about? Well, 2 Chronicles 1:7 says, on that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David my father, and you have made me the king in his place. Now, O Lord, let your promise to David, my father, be established. For you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth and multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I might go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? So then God replies to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 1:12. He says, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who have had were before you, nor shall any after you. What's the purpose of what God is doing here? Well, 1 Kings 3:9 says, therefore, give to your servant, that's Solomon, an understanding heart to judge. To judge who? To judge his people. That I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? And then in 1 Kings 3:12 it says, God has given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall be any who are like you arise after you. And I have also given what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of your days. He was the wisest of all men because he asked for wisdom to judge his people correctly. What a righteous thing to ask for. Do you ever ask God for wisdom? It's a good thing to ask him for. If you're new here and you begin to read God's Word, ask him for wisdom. Because in his Word, which is a book of knowledge in a lot of ways, if you ask him to give you wisdom as you read this book of knowledge, the Word comes alive in you and you begin to glean and understand from it. I know lots of people who have read through parts of God's Word and that they were acquiring knowledge and they were acquiring information. But the full revelation of God through the reading never came about. You all know what I'm talking about. You know people in your lives that have done that. Sometimes they use it for the sake of argument. Sometimes they operate out of a guilt complex of some sort where they have to read God's Word to feel less guilty. But when we ask for wisdom and we read God's Word, the Spirit of God brings it to life in us. And what was information and knowledge becomes wisdom. Especially as we step out and believe and walk by it. This is a powerful book. It's an incredibly powerful book. Because we get the example of what happens when we ask God for the things that we need. 1 Kings 4:31 says, for he was wiser than all men. Goes on to speak about Solomon. And he speaks of the people of his day that came from royal lines. He was wiser than all those guys. And they list them by name. It's pretty impressive. And he didn't just speak of certain, he spoke on a broad level. He spoke of the trees in Lebanon. He spoke of thinking processes that helped them, that helped people get to places of better understanding. He was an expert at meditation. In other words, prayer, talking to God. He understood military tactics. It's pretty impressive. His father was a military guy. He's kind of the guy out in front. But he understood strategies. Incredible wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then there's another proverb from 9:10 that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So many places I can go with this. But this Wednesday in our life group, we were going through this, and one of the guys in our life group came up with Isaiah chapter 11. And it speaks to the seven spirits that are the character, the person of Christ. And it was beautiful. All right, so I'm going to read those to you because I just see the power in this statement. In Isaiah 11:1, it says, there shall come forth from a rod the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's from Isaiah, and it speaks directly to the Proverbs that we're reading in. That is the essence of Christ in those spirits that are within Him. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit is in Him, and it possesses these qualities and these traits. Don't you want that in you? When you come to Christ, we're supposed to take on those qualities and those traits by the power of the Holy Spirit when we invite Him in. I should have that. I should have a spirit of knowledge and a spirit of wisdom. I should have a spirit of counsel. I should have a spirit of might, a spirit of knowledge, and a fear of the Lord. And notice it says, and a fear of the Lord. I don't know that I know how to fear the Lord, because sometimes I don't know the depth of who He is. And this is where the message takes off for me personally. In Isaiah 6:1, it says, in that year King Uzziah died, and I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. I see the Lord. Can you guys sing that? I see the Lord. Okay. I see the Lord, and His train fills the temple. The Lord, He's seated on the throne. I see the Lord, and He's seated. I can't do this part, but I'm gonna. Seated on the throne. I would think somebody would step up here and help me out a little bit. I see the Lord, and He's seated on the throne. Picture Isaiah. And the train of His robe fills the temple. And the angels cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The angels cry, holy. It gives us a picture of who He is. The train of His robe fills the temple. He's seated on the throne. It gives us a picture. Well, Isaiah saw the picture. There's something when we see God for who He is. If we were to see an angel here, most of us would bow down, and the angel would say, don't bow before me. I'm a messenger, servant. But we would be in such awe of this creature, this angel before us, that we would bow before it. It happens all the time in Scripture. And they say, don't bow before me. I am but a messenger. Right? What if we saw the Lord Himself? We're on our faces before God. We talk about this at funerals a lot. Why? Because every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Where are they doing this from? From above the earth, from on the earth, and from below the earth. He is Lord for the glory of God the Father. When I see Him for who He is, I act a little bit more like Isaiah, and if I continue in that, it says, so I said, woe is me. This is Isaiah speaking after he sees the Lord. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When we see the Lord, we also see who we are, and we don't measure up. He says, Isaiah is one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. He says, I am a man of unclean lips. He says that he is undone. He is not perfected. He is in awe of what he's seeing, and it's putting him down to his face, to his knees. He's seeing who he is. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity, or your sin, is taken away. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. When we see the Lord, it shows us who we are and it brings us to a place of humility. When you're in a place of humility, you're in a good place. Humble is a good thing. Humility is the great thing. And we will all at some point in time be humble before God. What God wants to do, I believe, is through His Word and by the power of His Spirit, is to reveal Himself to us so that we are humble now before Him. That we see Him for who He is and the greatness of who He is. Even the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament, a work of His hands. He is greater than what we can imagine, but somehow in the day that we have lived, we have diminished who He is. This is not going to sound right, but even this season, we're going to reduce Him to His beginning in human life, in human form, as a baby in a manger. And some people never leave that. They don't get past this beautiful baby in a manger. Some people grow and mature to see Him as the Good Shepherd. Let the little children come unto Me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And he reaches out to those children, which is a beautiful thing. Don't forget the word is children, too. And He reaches out to them. And maybe that's the picture we have of them. And you know what? A lot of times my humility, my repentance, is only linked as far as that understanding of who He is. Does that make sense? If I make Him little, my humility and my repentance is little. I'm not telling you to make Him large, because He is incredibly large. He is all large. He is infinite in person. He's already large. All I want you to do is know Him. Because knowing it brings us to the places we need to go. I see the Lord seated on the throne. My prayer is that everybody goes home and sings that song just as crooked as I did and work at trying to get it right. Because I want you to see the Lord. I want James to come up here and just mess it up. Not kidding. Oh, no, you can come up here. We'll do this. You guys ready to sing? Okay. Whenever I make Him uncomfortable, it makes me happy. I don't know that I've done it. I don't think I've done it. Did I get you a cup of juice or something?
No.
Okay.
It takes a lot more than that.
Okay.
This is music.
In my own flesh, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And that's true for most of us when we step out of here. We're among people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then a supernatural healing from God to an angel to the man for forgiveness. Because He couldn't even move and operate because the Spirit of God was so prevalent in the room. In the awe of who He is. The awe. I can't think of a better word, and it's a shame that the word has been so diminished. Sir, would you like that receipt in the bag? I said, yes. You put it in the bag? Awesome. That's how we use the word today. And then everything is, oh, awesome. Awesome. No, that's not awesome. That's putting a stinking receipt in a bag. What's awesome is this Creator of ours that created all things, that knit you and me together in our mother's womb, who is the end of all things. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is all these things.
was awesome. But I need to see him. I need to see him like he really is, like it says in the book of Revelation, like who he is. That's how I need to see it, because my faith gets weak sometimes. And yet, on the tree, some people see defeat. That's not defeat, that's victory. And we don't see it because we can't get to that place because we can't see who he is. We see him in that perfect present tense of that day. But you see him in the present tense of the enormity of who he is. And how powerful he is. And the reason why it's a big deal is because that's the kind of God it takes to forgive you of your sin. To forgive me of my sin. That's the kind of God it takes to become flesh, get into flesh, and do this for me. We have to see him for who he is. We have to see him as the God who speaks, and it is. He says to the stars, boom, be, and they are. He says to the earth, be, and they are. He speaks it. He says to my sin, be gone, and it's gone. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. And he gives us good counsel once we know who he is. He begins a process to grow you. Grow me. Sometimes I think that might be his greatest miracle. It's him growing us from our place of unclean to a new place. He grows me to be his child. I'm a child of the King. All that I just talked about, I'm his child. And so are you. And now he works in growing me to be all of that. He grows you and me to be all that he wants us to be. If we ask for wisdom, if we ask for knowledge, and we ask for his help, create in me, Lord. This is what Solomon's father David said. Create in me, Lord, a clean heart. And renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. Cast me not away. And we as believers need to take the understanding of who he is and his heart's desire for us and go to that place and let him begin to do in us the things that we need done. Change this heart of stone. Renew it. Make it comply, conform to you. Jesus, help me to do that. That is the miracle of miracles, in my opinion. He speaks and the cosmos is. Changes my heart, and the cosmos goes, whoa, that was something. When he changes your heart, Michael, it's like, whoa, look what I have done. He did it to Isaiah. I am a man of unclean lips. I am undone. Thank goodness he forgives me by his word, not by a hot coal. Can't get around that. Thank you, Jesus. If James stays up here, I'll go a little quicker. Would that be okay? Praise God. Alright. Here's the flip side of this awesome God. He gives us wisdom to shun evil. Revelation 8:13 says, and I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying in a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound, they're about to sound. Whoa, whoa, whoa. One, whoa was horrible. Two, you're not in a really good place. And three is like, oh boy. Whoa, whoa, whoa. This eternal God, they did all the things that I just said for the heart of man to change and conform it, transform it into his likeness. Eternally, we are with him. Eternally is more than a breath and is more than a vapor than what we get here on this earth. We are with him. But I want to be really clear, and this just came to me from a song we sang two songs ago before your end. And what struck me was that this judgment that comes upon mankind is every bit as eternal as the love of those that he forgives and takes off into eternity. And it was hitting me. We sing a kind of a contemporary one, Love Is. I know, it was a simple song that we sing one. No, keep going.
One thing remains.
That's it. One thing remains. How's that?
You want to start?
I kind of do, but I don't know.
No, I want you to, actually.
Spurred some of my emotion earlier as I started thinking about judgment. His judgment never runs out on the other side of eternity, on the other side of salvation. His judgment doesn't run out either. It goes on and on and on and on because it's every bit as eternal as His love is. I think I am. I'm telling right now, I'll preach in a little bit here. When you come to Christ, that love goes on and on and on and on. Here's how big God is. When His judgment comes to those that don't receive Him, the heart breaks again. Because His love still goes on, but His holiness is every bit that it always was. It goes on and on, so He's still loving, but He has to do what He has to do because He's God. And judgment is eternal. It's not a earn your way back. And it broke me because of the reality of it. Because when a God who created everything, the God who is all wise and all knowing creates everything, He's the source of all wisdom. That God creates everything and says, "You are with me forever." We heard it in our prayer that is, we are not snatched out of His hand. The same is true for the goats on the right or on the left with the shaft. The same is true for them. And you'd be like Lazarus saying, "Angel, could you send a drip of water? Can you go talk to my brothers? Because they don't know this." Actually, they're speaking to Jesus. Won't change anything. They refuse to change their heart. And sometimes I think that the only thing that is more powerful than the ability of God to change a heart is the ability of man to resist it. I swear. God, forgive us for resisting. Do the work that only You can do to break the heart of man, that we open up to the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of who You are, that we would fear You and bow before You now, not at the judgment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Listen to your father, His instruction. Listen to the law of the mother, whatever it is. He tells us what to do. Follow this. Follow that. Do this. That's why we read the book of Proverbs. He begins to speak to us the things we need to do. Do this. Do that. Do this. And they're good do's. They're not like things of the law. They're things of the heart. Do this, that you would stay close to me. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be graceful ornament around your head and about chains about your neck. Therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. These are unbelievably powerful directives that are in our best interest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My son, if sinners entice you, this is the world now. If sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, "Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us work secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive like Sheol." Now, I haven't done those things, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things I did where I went running with the crowd that said, "Let's go do this. Let's go do this." And it was all bad stuff. He's telling us, don't follow that. Don't follow the ways of this world. Don't follow the lust of it. Don't follow people who do. Instead, go to those people, share the love of Christ with them, in whatever way God speaks to you to share it with them, by how you treat them first, how you demonstrate love to them, how you serve them on Fridays at the end of the month. And then at the end, use words, because words matter. It comes by hearing, and hearing by that word of God. He's given us the word right here. I just want to be really clear about our God, and then I'm going to close with this. Revelation 5:1 says, "And I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, the scroll written inside the back seal with the seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it." I'm going to change that for a second. Just bear with me. None of us are able to open salvation for another person in and of ourselves. No person is able to enter into salvation of his own accord. The only way that one comes to an understanding of who God is by the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that leads us to the man of God, Jesus. And it is Jesus that is bringing us to the Father. You have to know this. You have to. We can't make light of it. He's going to call us to something. But there is nobody worthy. Not him. But then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Thank you, Jesus. Sent out into all the earth, then he came and took the scroll out of his right hand to him who sat on the throne. The call of wisdom. Wisdom is to bring us to understand the knowledge. We don't understand the Spirit. We don't understand the Spirit through knowledge. It's through wisdom. It's through the move of the Holy Spirit in your life. I can look and I can look and I can look at His Word. And sometimes it means nothing unless the Spirit open it up to me and reveal it to me. And the same is true for all of us. Two kinds of wisdom. There's that which is from above. It's the wisdom we're going for. And there's that which is not of God. In James 3:13 it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4:6 it says, "For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown it in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Once we understand, we share. That's what the church is called to do. We're not to hide our light under a bushel, but we're to share the light of God, the light of this good news to others, that they might receive it and open themselves up to receive it. Give the Holy Spirit really something to work with, if you will. But there's another kind of wisdom. It says in John 3:14, it says, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, it is sensual, it is demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." And then James 3:17, coming back to that. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." The last part of the incredible awesomeness of God is His holiness. We've talked about this before. The only reason why I'm standing over here is because I feel like if I tip, I'm going to be going down first, because this is off balance here. But holiness is to be set apart. It is to be set apart. It is not like anything else. It is different. For God is holy. And you are called to be holy, which means you are set apart. Set apart means he's not in the presence of sin. He's set apart from sin. That's why the judgment is for real. Amen. Amen. Holiness. When I hear of, I'll be right with you. When I hear of the fear of the Lord, it is the holiness of God that probably frightens me the most, because it's the thing that reveals to me how unholy I am. So his holiness, his separation from that which is wrong and which is evil, is what is so frightful, because if I have evil and wickedness in my heart and I don't repent, I don't come to him, I never make him the Lord of my life, that separation is real and it's eternal. But he did come down here. He did come down here for us. We're all condemned till he comes down here. And he says, you, come. Then he says, you, come. Some say no, or some just blow it off. Some make Jesus the baby in the manger and don't get too moved by it. But some see him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the only way to the Father. And they come to him. And eternity is forever. You want wisdom? That's wisdom. Knowing that and living by that and believing that. You know what foolishness is? Hearing about it, having some sort of understanding because you read it, and you choose not to, or you don't choose at all, which is to not choose. If there's anybody here that says, I've never made that choice, and you want to be assured that your eternity is with him, that you're with God forever and ever and ever, and you know in all reality you haven't been to that place, God has been little to you. You want to change that today? I'm just going to have you slip your hand up. That's you. Because it's a decision with your mouth, yes, with your hand, yes, but it's really a decision of your heart. Do you want to give your heart to Christ? Is there anybody here that's never done that before and you want to do that? I see that. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there anybody else? So what do the angels in heaven do when somebody makes a decision for Christ? They rejoice. They rejoice. So we can rejoice. The other thing the church does when somebody raises their hand, we support and we join them in. That's why we do life groups. That's why we have CR. That's why we have fun at Bible studies. That's why we forsake not the gathering together. That's why we come together. So if we could all pray for this young lady who raised her hand to receive Christ. David, we'll let a lady meet with her. Dear Jesus, you just say this prayer with us. Laura, you guys say this prayer with us and then we'll move on. Dear Jesus, I know my need. Without you, I am lost. Without you, I am lost eternally. I know I need you. Come into my heart. Take my sin. Remove it from me. Set me free from it. Be my Lord as well as my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And right where you're sitting in your seats, you don't have to come forward unless you want to and just be up at the altar, that's fine. But I want you to ask yourself a question. I've asked this a couple weeks ago. In your heart of hearts, have you made God little in your life? Have you made him small? Have you diminished who he is? And my prayer for you is that you reconcile that with him. You ask for forgiveness, or you ask him to reveal yourself, to show you more. Help him to ask him to direct you. As you read through Proverbs, he directs us how to get to him. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person in their seat that you speak by your Spirit to their hearts, to their minds, to their spirits, as to who you are and the awesomeness of it, and who we are and our need for him. Speak very clearly. Help us to speak very clearly. Lord Jesus, you know where I am. You know where I stand. Take me to where you want me to be. I pray that for each person here in this place as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you could just close with a song, I know you've been singing for the last 45 minutes. You're playing, but that would be great. And then we're